Good evening. Welcome to Health Chat. I'm your host, Lina Armoudou. Well, get this. According to a national survey recently released by the United States Centers for Disease Control, one in nine Americans of all ages have taken an antidepressant medication in the past month. And observers say the use of antidepressants has skyrocketed despite some life-threatening adverse effects. So today we will discuss depression, look at how people are addressing their health issues when it comes to depression, what are some of the medicine they're taking, and what can people do better or alternatively to address the depression issues and other issues for which they are using antidepressant. And my guest today is joining us from our studio in New York. He's David Foreman. He's a pharmacist and author. Mr. Foreman, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always fun.
It's always great to have you. So we will discuss antidepression, depression in general, and ways to address it in a moment with our guest, pharmacist David Foreman. But first, here is a report by VOA's Lisa Schlein.
The World Health Organization reports more than 300 million people, or more than 4% of the global population, were living with depression in 2015. The numbers mark an 18% increase over a 10-year period. Dan Chisholm is health systems advisor in the WHO's Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse and a lead author of the report. He says depression is a disorder that can affect anyone at any point in that person's life.
If you look at the prevalence of different disorders around the world and you look at the disability that is associated with them, if you combine those together, depression ends up at the top of the list because it's A, very common, you can see, 1 in 20 people in the world have it, and then it has quite a high level of impairment or disability associated with it.
The report finds prevalence rates for depression peak among older adults, affecting 2% more women between the ages of 55 and 74 than men. Across all age groups, however, the report notes depression is 1.5 times more common among females than males. Breaking a widespread misconception, Chisholm says the disorders are not diseases of the rich or the affluent. He says more than 80% of these conditions are present in low- and middle-income countries. He tells VOA depression is rising mainly because the world's population is growing and aging, particularly in developing countries.
For example, African countries might have 40-50% of the population under the age of 15. But as they transition, they might have only 30%. So you have more people reaching adulthood where the rates of depression are higher.
While depression is a growing problem in Africa, the report notes nearly half of all people living with the disorder are in the heavily populated regions of Southeast Asia and the Western Pacific. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
So, David, again, thank you so much for joining us. I think the number is really mind-boggling. 1 in 20 people in the world has depression. What is your reaction?
Well, you know, in all honesty, it doesn't surprise me. There are so many underlying possibilities as to why people can become depressed. And I think, you know, I feel like we have a globally now, there's a lot more stress on people, mm-hmm. Which can lead to depression. And actually, it's interesting because stress can lead to depression, and depression can lead to stress. So, you know, it's the chicken or the egg, which
yes.
came first. Yeah. And then, and then the other thing is, there's an awfully strong link between poor nutrition and how the body reacts, or how the body can react. And so, I think those two things alone are, you know, I think we're epidemic in both of those globally now. And I think that's why we're seeing such an increase. And also, I think the ability to get healthcare. Healthcare is so much more accessible, and I feel like that's another reason that we're seeing more cases. It's just like other diseases that seem to be more prevalent now. I think it's more that there were a lot of sick people around for different reasons, and now we have the healthcare available to us to find out really what's going on.
So it maybe there is better diagnosis, more diagnosis, not necessarily an increase in the conditions, perhaps?
Perhaps. I also feel like sometimes there was a comedy movie I saw this year, Flying on a Plane, and I feel like the use of antidepressants often is requested. You're feeling down and you're feeling sad or you're feeling bad and you had a bad couple of weeks. And I feel like sometimes we often just go running off to the physician and you say you want this antidepressant because you heard it was good on a television commercial or in a magazine you read.
Yeah.
And so I feel like some of the diagnosis comes from people that are just saying, I don't feel so great.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas the antidepressant may be overkill for that situation.
Yeah, and there seems to be a culture of popping a pill when something goes wrong, instead of perhaps trying different approaches that could eventually either alleviate the condition or even treat it entirely. What do you think?
Oh, completely. I feel like... I've been teaching this to people for years, and excuse the, it sounds sort of a harsh analogy, but I always say to people, if you're covered in gasoline, would you play with matches?
Oh, yeah.
And then they'll say, well, no. And I'm like, what about wet matches? And then they think about it for a second, and I was like, well, I feel like that's how society is now. And like you just said, I feel like too often we're ready to pop a pill to cure our ill as opposed to look at other modalities and other ways to manage it, with regards to mental health, whether it's depression, anxiety, or just feeling stressed out, getting more exercise, cleaning up your diet, avoiding alcohol, avoiding certain drugs, whether they're prescription or illegal. I mean, all these things can contribute to why you don't feel good mental health wise. And often both in modern medicine globally and just our own thing is just individually is to, pop a pill to cure my ill or mm-hmm. at least make me feel better for the short run instead of really looking at why do I have this depression or anxiety or just why am I stressed out? And then maybe getting into prayer and meditation or getting more exercise or stop drinking, at the end of your work day or stop using caffeine to wake you up. And these are the kinds of things I think we often just, we want to keep doing all those bad things without and take a pill mm-hmm. instead of really be proactive and try to avoid having to take those medications.
And it's interesting because I was talking to you earlier during the TV show, and you said something that even though you take the antidepressant, it doesn't necessarily mean that the condition will disappear, so to speak. I mean, I'm obviously paraphrasing what you said. But you can take antidepressant, but you can still feel whatever condition, whether it's a temporary relief or a long-term relief that you're looking for, that might not be the solution.
No, exactly. So, I think the number one reason that people sort of go down the path towards depression is we're all stressed out. I don't care where you live in the globe, even if you're not in a modernized country, there are everyday stressors that affect you. If you're in a you're in a third world country, so to speak. You might be worrying about where your next meal is coming from, although there are people in modernized countries that are still worrying about where their next meal is coming or worrying about, how they're going to pay their bills and all these things. And I feel like if we learn to truly address those, that's how we're going to get well. And that's how we're not going to get sick. And I guess I keep bringing that same point up, but I feel like a lot of times we've created these weaknesses without even realizing it.
So the other issue also, and I had a report earlier during TV that antidepressant can lead to obesity. The other problem is that antidepressant have side effects physical on the physical body, and it's not just about obesity, but there are other issues as well. And you can tell us more about that.
Yeah, definitely. So, I always tell people, my original background is pharmacy. I'm a pharmacist. I actually owned a pharmacy for 9 years. And then I got into the natural medicine world, and now I help people naturally. But the thing is, we often take a pill for one situation in the case of, stress or depression or whatever. We take it for that, but not realizing that same medicine, because it's a concentrated, chemical entity, will often lead to 9 or 10 other things that you didn't have before you started taking that medication. So with regards to antidepressants, and there's different categories of antidepressants, probably the most popular globally now is one they call SSRI.
Okay.
I'm not going to get into brand names. I don't like to pick on drugs and drug companies. but those are the most popular. And with those, sometimes come flu-like symptoms. You mentioned the weight gain. Sometimes it's weight loss. It can lead to nutritional deficiencies in certain B vitamins, which actually don't go well for other health challenges. They can interact with other health conditions. So, I feel like sometimes, we do take that pill to, quote, cure our ill or treat it, so to speak. And yet we create 6, 7, 8 other things the longer we take them. And I remember, the study I paid close attention during the TV segment on that. And it was really about people over an extended period of time. It wasn't like you took your antidepressant today and you started gaining weight tomorrow. It was those people that were long-term. And it's because drugs don't just affect one thing. They will affect many different physiological things in your body. And sometimes it takes time for those things to show up. And that's why you don't just take a medicine and usually have a side effect right away. It's usually, it could be a couple of days, it could be weeks. And in the case of that study, it could be months.
And it's interesting because, as you mentioned, it took a few years, and the study talked about the patients were observed for 10 years. Now, when we look at it, if someone can take a medication like antidepressant for 10 years, it means that during the 10 years period, they didn't get better. I mean, do you need antidepressant for the rest of your life, or is it something that will take care of the issue and then you don't have to get back on it? It seems to me like there is a repetitive type of behavior when it comes to taking them.
Well, there is. And it goes back to my comment earlier about, needing to know the underlying cause, because I feel like, when you're depressed, you're sad, you're stressed, there's an underlying thought usually going on. The medications do not get rid of that. That's something that, people need to go to counseling for. So for those people that are on antidepressants for 10 years, there's probably a very small percentage of that population that probably needs to be on that, because they do have that more severe type of depression and they are much healthier and better off for it. But I would have to say the majority of the people, through proper medical treatment, counseling, and other modalities, like I mentioned earlier, even supplementation, because I am, quote, the herbal pharmacist, but even through supplementation, changes in diet, getting exercise, getting the mental health counseling, once you can get rid of those, or help the person get through those depressed times or those stressed out times, and I don't know about you, my dear, but for me, I had a period about 6 years ago that was just enormously stressful in my life, and it started taking its toll on me. And so, for me, I had to get to the root of why. So yeah, I did go to counseling. Yes, I did take nutritional supplements. Yes, I did make sure I worked out more. I tried to do positive thought, positive imaging, and as part of my prayer and meditation. So those are the things I think that often get we don't look at, and they need to be considered as part of it. But for someone to say, if you walked into a doctor's office today and you're just feeling mildly depressed and you walked out with an antidepressant and that's all they did, shame on you and shame on your doctor, because they really should be finding out why you're feeling that way and what other modalities, things that we can do so that you can eventually get back off of that medication.
Yeah.
That should be the end goal for all of us, is the medication is a temporary fix until we can figure out what's really going wrong and address it naturally the way God created us, so that you don't have to take that medicine the rest of your life. That's the way it really should go. But for some reason, globally, modern medicine has derailed.
Interesting perspective, especially coming from a pharmacist turned now herbalist. So, David, we will continue this discussion. There's so much more to talk about. I want to talk about some of the suggestions that you may have in terms of what to do alternatively. You are a strong believer in supplements, so we'll look at some of your recommendations. We'll also talk about something that many people are may find themselves doing, which is mind wandering. And I think I've been guilty of that a couple of times. But we'll talk more about it when we come back after the break. We'll have more with David Foreman. It's time for a short break. But now it's the news with Abigail Belay.
Researchers in California say they've invented a device that they hope someday will help detect malaria cheaper and faster. The engineers found that the crystals malaria parasites produce within infected red blood cells have a magnetic property. Put a magnet next to a drop of infected blood, and the crystals move toward the magnet. The device works by shining a laser light through a drop of blood, measuring how much light is transmitted, and then holding the magnet close to the blood sample and taking several measurements. The invention has led to a spark in finding other ways to detect malaria that could be advantageous for investors. And get this, long-term antidepressant use may cause you to gain weight. That's according to a new study published in the British Medical Journal. Researchers analyzed nearly 295,000 people aged 20 years or older in the United Kingdom. Specialists monitored patients' health records to track and assess their antidepressant use and weight gain. Among other things, they found that patients who use common antidepressants are 21% more likely to have a 5% increase in body weight over the next 10 years, compared to those who don't take the drugs. Researchers also noted that the participants of normal weight showed an increased risk of becoming overweight or obese, and overweight participants are more likely to become obese if they are treated with an antidepressant. In the UK, the first ever womb transplant in the country will occur by the end of 2018 by using live donors. Approval was given for 10 womb transplants using deceased donors, but now the UK plans on using both living and cadaveric donors. According to health specialists in London, surgery time has been cut from 12 to 4 hours, and about 750 women have approached specialists to inquire about transplants. Specialists claim it is a major advancement, but it is one that will require strictly controlled clinical trials. The International Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology says transplants give hope for those women who are born without a uterus, but the practice is still experimental despite all advancements. So far, about 42 women have received the transplant and 11 babies have been born from the successful attempts. And that's a wrap-up of your latest health news.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late tonight, we are discussing depression, how to address it, some of the alternative ways people can really think about and address depression if they are faced with it. Our guest expert is David Foreman. He's a pharmacist and author, and he's also called the Herbal Pharmacist. David, it's so such a pleasure to have you on the program. So now we talked about the fact that antidepressants are not always the solution. Can you give us some alternatives in terms of how the depression can be addressed?
Well, for today's topic, depression is always a challenge when it comes to the supplement world. I tend to migrate away a little bit away from the word depression because that really is a disease state, and I try to get more focused in on the stress component. Okay. of you know, that seems to be one of the major gateways. Is if we learn to address our stress, we can hopefully cut your mental health off there, so to speak, and mm-hmm. instead of progressing to the word depression. Mm-hmm. But to answer your question real quick, you know, I talked about a few things already with regards to depression. The only truly nutritional supplement I'm aware of that has any science behind it for depression is an herb called St. John's wort.
Okay.
But it is only used for people with mild to moderate depression. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell people right now, if you are already being treated for depression, You do not want to just stop your medication. You never want to do that. You need to consult with your healthcare provider because antidepressants take time to wean off of. Mm-hmm. And adding that herb I just mentioned to your medication may actually cause some side effects and that are unwanted. So I'm always hesitant to really help people with the depression aspect as opposed to really helping people that are tuning in that really have that stress component going on. And I feel like if I can help people manage their stress naturally, they're less likely to make it to that end point of depression and maybe requiring, you know, a prescription medication. So I hope you're okay with that.
Absolutely. And it's so important that you mentioned stress, because stress is something that so many people are confronted with. I mean, anybody can, it seems like almost everybody will tell you, oh, I'm so stressed, whether it's a one day occurrence or it's something long term or short term. So it's very important to definitely touch on stress. And if you could please tell us more about addressing stress. I think that's all of us can use that.
Yeah, I think there's more people. I know actually there's more people walking around with stress than there are depression. So I think mm-hmm. it's definitely going to be more applicable. And one of my favorite little jokes to say to people when I say, you know, everybody has stress, and if you don't, you probably don't have any breath left in your lungs, meaning you're not alive. So
that's right.
So I wish I was in the studio with you in Washington. I would high five on that one right there.
No kidding. You get one. You get two high fives on this one.
All right. Cool. Right on. Exactly. We'll do a high 10. And you know, laughter is good for the stress. And you know, like I didn't have any stress this morning, you know, getting the train to come into Manhattan to go to a studio I've never been to and take the train that I haven't taken in a long time. And you know, so I had my morning dose of stress as well and afternoon. So I have three herbs I like to recommend mm-hmm. aside from the things I already mentioned, and I don't want to keep repeating the diet, exercise, you know, spirituality component, but let's talk about the supplements. I have three that I'm a big fan of, and they each do different things with regards to stress. The first one actually originates from South Africa. For hundreds of years, I think it's the oldest existing civilization on the planet. In other words, we can track it back. It's the one that's still survived the longest. It's a tribe called the San, S-A-N. And the San tribe has been using this South African succulent, a very specific succulent, to help with stress and other situations that went on in their tribal life, like hunting and things. And what we've found in modern medicine, so granted, you know, that tribe's been using it for the ingredient for hundreds of years, but now in modern medicine, we have science proving it works. So if you go to your health food store or pharmacy, the ingredient is called Zembrin. I'll spell it for you. Mm-hmm. Z-E-M, as in Michael, B-R-I-N, Zembrin.
Okay.
Zembrin is an all-natural botanical extract. You take a very small dose just once in the morning, and what it does, it's scientifically shown to affect the stress center in your brain. So there's a specific area of your brain that does different things. In this case, the stress center is directly affected by Zembrin in a positive way. What it does is it helps calm you down and relax you. It helps take that edge off if you feel a little stressed out. You know how you feel a little edgy? Well, it'll actually help calm and relax you. But as opposed to most things, whether it's prescription or over-the-counter that calm you down or relax you, those things usually cause drowsiness. Zembrin does not cause drowsiness. So you get a calm, relaxed feeling without drowsiness. And the research has shown that just taking that small dose every morning not only will help you stay calm and relaxed, but helps improve your ability to concentrate and focus. So you're less likely to have your mind wandering off on those negative things like, how are you going to pay your bills? Or, you know, oh my goodness, I'm getting overweight. Or, you know, you have an aging parent or whatever those things are. So yeah. Zembrin is one of my favorites to go to. So that's South Africa. So the second one I want to talk about comes from Siberia. So we're going to go from the very southern hemisphere, southern part of the southern hemisphere, and go all the way up to the northern part of the northern hemisphere to Siberia. And think of Siberia. It's a harsh environment. So it's both physically and emotionally / mentally demanding. And the people there, again, indigenous people from Siberia, for centuries have been using a root called rhodiola, R-H-O-D-I-O-L-A. Mm-hmm. Rhodiola works different in Zembrin in a couple of different ways. One, Zembrin will work in 2 hours. Like, the research has shown it'll work that fast. Rhodiola takes a couple of weeks to work, and it also works differently. It's not a, quote, relax, calming type of effect. What it does is it helps kind of put the body or adapt back into balance so that you're less likely to swing out of balance in those stressful situations. When we get stressed out, usually our immune system gets weak. We usually get fatigued. And what we found with rhodiola is that not only does it help your body adapt to the stress, but it adapts physically and emotionally as well. So you're gonna have less fatigue. As a matter of fact, some people actually see improved energy. A lot of people that are stressed out, they tend to get the every cold that comes around. You know, they seem to be the one that's always under the weather. Rhodiola will help support the immune system as well. So Those two herbs, Zembrin and rhodiola, can actually be used together. And if I have to be transparent with you, I'm actually taking both of them myself as we speak. So, because, you know, I travel a lot for a living. I do a lot of interviews. I have an active lifestyle. I have kids that live in Florida. I live in California. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, you know? So,
that's a busy schedule there.
Yeah. So I take Zembrin to kind of keep me calm and relaxed and focused. And I take rhodiola to support my body's, the beating it takes, so to speak, from everyday stressors.
Okay.
And do we have time for the third herb?
Go ahead, please.
I'll go through it quick. So the last herb is so different than the previous two in that it's called, first of all, it's been used by the Aztecs for centuries. Mm-hmm. It was used by the Aztecs, so it's obviously centuries ago.
Yeah.
The herb is called passion flower. Okay. Passion flower was used by the Aztecs for insomnia. So passion flower will calm you down, relax you, but it'll also make you very drowsy. So this is one of those things that I'll have people take, you know, before bedtime. If you've got a lot of stuff going on in your mind, your mind's kind of racing and you're having trouble falling asleep, passion mm-hmm. flowers might go to for helping people kind of calm down and relax.
Okay.
But keep in mind, none of these things replace any of the thoughts that you have going on. They just help your body and how it's adapting or dealing with that.
Yeah, and it's a good point, your last point also, because I spoke about mind wandering. This is something that so many people do, including myself. So to what extent one has to start being concerned about not being focused? When does it become a problem?
Well, I feel like if it's occupying a majority of your day, then it becomes a problem because your mind wandering, a Harvard study showed that our minds wander over half the time, and the majority of that time is on negative things.
Mm-hmm.
So, having those negative mind wandering thoughts on a regular basis will lead to a lot of other potential health challenges. We talked about depression being one of them, but digestive disorders, cardiovascular disease is linked to it as well. So if your mind is wandering, it's usually not on, hey, I've got a cool vacation to Hawaii coming up. You know, it's usually on something that's not a positive thing. And so some people say they're worriers, that a worry is a mind wandering on negative things. So if you or someone you love, you know, describes themselves as a worrier, not a warrior.
Yes,
a worrier.
That's different.
Yeah, totally different. Then that to me is a major concern because under prolonged periods of worry and stress will lead to other major and serious health challenges if it doesn't get addressed properly.
Okay. Well, and finally, we only have a few seconds left. David Foreman, just one or two steps in terms of how we can alleviate stress very quickly.
Well,
to sum up.
Supplements are the quickest. I love using Zembrin and rhodiola, making sure you're getting regular exercise, take deep breaths, spend a little time in prayer, and avoid things that make stress work, like caffeine and other stimulants. Those are my quickies right there for you.
Oh, wow. Caffeine, that's a big one. That's a whole, that's an entire show right
now.
There. You open another door.
I know. You hate me now, right?
So we have to get you back here so we can talk about that. David Foreman, thank you so much for joining
us.
Thank
you. Have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you so much. That was our guest, David Foreman from New York. He's a pharmacist and author. And I thank all of you listeners for joining us all over Africa and around the world, and all our partners will carry our show. I'm your host, Lenore Modou, in Washington, with producer Jackson Vongani and Abigail Belay with the news. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
Africa News Tonight.